morning is United States against Yarrington. Mr. Boyd.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Mr. Baum. Judge, these issues here have been argued many, many times before in these courtrooms. The first issue that we argue is, of course, the Batson issue. And our position in this case is that Batson, of course, requires that the trial court, where the issue of discriminatory peremptory challenges have been used, that they take a meaningful or make a meaningful inquiry of the prosecution relative to its reasons for their peremptory challenge. In the situation that we have at bar here, it is the position of the defendant appellant that the trial court did not, in fact, do that. The reason why we say that, Your Honors, is because after the challenges were made by the trial counsel relative to the peremptory challenge used against Michelle Hudson, the court had the prosecution state what their challenges were. And the first, the second reason given by the government for excusing Ms. Hudson was that Ms. Hudson's daughter's name was known by the law enforcement. Without explanation, the court found that that was a viable reason, or one of the viable reasons for being allowed to use a peremptory challenge against the only African-American who came into the jury box on that day. Now, what does that mean, to be known by the government? Does that mean that it's a situation where the daughter of Ms. Hudson has committed some offense or has been involved in some things, or she has a past record? We don't know. And the reason why we don't know is because the court never made an inquiry regarding that. It's our position that the court should have made an inquiry about that before making a determination as to whether or not that was a reason which would have given rise to the use of that peremptory challenge against Ms. Hudson. The third reason for exercising the peremptory challenge is that Ms. Hudson did not look them in the eye. And the judge, based upon what it is that I read in the transcript, appeared to consider that to be a frivolous reason, because the judge herself said in this case that the purpose that when she saw the juror, that the juror was looking her in the eye. Now, the first reason that was given by the government is because she stated that she knew several people who were on the proposed list of witnesses given by the government. And because she knew of these people, or in even in one case had worked with these people, that was the reason why it is that they used the peremptory challenge against her. Yet, despite that, the government, during the course of the selection of the juries, this juror accepted a juror who stated that she knew the counsel, that is the defense counsel, for the defendant appellant in this case. But they made no motion or made no attempt to peremptorily challenge her. The government also accepted another witness, a juror, whose sister was in the Department of Corrections for forgery.
Were those government witnesses that she knew or knew of, or were they defense witnesses?
Judge, I believe these were government witnesses.
In the transcript, Mr. Bohm's quoted as saying that she knew of two potential defense witnesses.
Oh, yes, that's right. She did know two potential defense witnesses, but the people that I am talking about were jurors who knew people on the prosecution's witness list, as I recall.
I see, but the juror in question knew of defense witnesses. One was her supervisor.
Right,
at one
that's
time.
Ms. Michelle Hudson. That's
I
correct,
see.
Judge.
Okay.
That's correct. And the government also accepted a juror by the name of Thomas Kennedy, who also said he believed that he knew three people whose names was on the potential list of witnesses in this case. So everything that they are saying and have said during the course of this hearing relative to Batson, they did the exact opposite of later on. So then you have to look at it and you have to ask yourself, well, what's the real purpose here? What is the real purpose for getting rid of the one African-American who is on in the jury box and who could possibly be selected? What's that purpose? And that's how you can look at that. But the problem is the court never delved into that. It never asked those kinds of questions, and it is the appellant's belief that if the court is going to have a meaningful Batson hearing, that it needs to do certain things to establish that. Now, the second issue, of course, is the completeness issue, the rule, Federal Rule of Evidence 106. And very briefly, because I'm running to my time, I would simply say this to the court, that the testimony by Thomas Summerlin, which is the testimony that had been impeached. In dealing with that issue, the prosecution was attempting to rehabilitate that witness. And the purpose for putting that, the statements from the police reports from the agent, was the attempt to do that. They had a right to attempt to rehabilitate that witness, but they did not have a right to have the entire section of that report go in. They had that witness on the stand in redirect examination after the cross-examination had brought out the impeachment. They attempted to rehabilitate him there. They put that officer on. They attempted to do it again without going into or having him read that section of his report. But they themselves became flustered, and they then stopped, and asked the judge to admit his report. All that needed to be done was to have directed that officer to the one issue that they wanted to talk about, and that was the September 8th conversation. And they could have simply asked that officer, did you in your report indicate that the witness had bought drugs on more than one occasion from Mr. Yarrington. But rather than do that, they sought to use a broader brush and have the judge admit that testimony by way of reading the report of the agent into the record. And we would submit that that was a violation of an abuse of discretion of the court in allowing the jury to hear that report relative to Rule 106. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Baum.
Jason Baum on behalf of the United States. Thank you, Your Honor. The district court did not clearly err when it allowed the government to exercise a peremptory challenge to strike an African-American juror who knew two defense witnesses. To Your Honor's question, both of the witnesses that the potential juror said she knew ended up testifying for the defense at the trial. The district court also did not abuse its discretion when it allowed an agent to read a portion of his report into the record in order to give the jury the full context of that report.
But now, is this a question of rule of completeness, or is this a question of rehabilitating the witness? What was going on?
Your Honor, what was going on was the defense counsel had repeatedly taken one sentence out of the report that said that Summerlin had bought drugs only from Wallace. That sentence is in the report, but it's in the context of when he first began to buy cocaine, it was only from Wallace. Then he was introduced to the defendant and bought cocaine from him as well. That's why we believe it was the rule of completeness. Even if there was error in allowing that, Your Honor, we believe that error is harmless in this case, given the evidence against the defendant.
Thank you.
Unless there are any further questions, we would rest on our briefs.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further, Mr. Boyd?
I have 1 minute.
Probably 30 seconds, but
okay,
yes.
I will race through this thing. Judge, I would simply say this. The reason why it is, Judge, they wanted that in there is because that witness had been beaten to death during the course of that impeachment. His testimony was confused and inconsistent, and even the trial judge at the sentencing said that. It was an attempt to rehabilitate him. And whether or not it was a harmless error, I would simply say this. They put that witness on because the witness supposedly had a significant thing to tell that jury. And it is our belief that the testimony given by that witness was, in fact, significant and did contribute to the jury's verdict in this case. Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. The case is taken under advisement. Our final